a sort of greeting, a sort of salute to the Jewish state, the alleged Jewish state, that in this Saturday, which is the holiday, the weekend for the Jewish population, as it's the Israeli army attacked the Shabbat Shalom and attacked the Palestinians who were living and trying to live in peace and security, and it's a crippling Israeli blockade imposed by the Israeli military for more than 18 months now. Unfortunately, the situation is very devastating. The situation is very catastrophic here on the ground. As I am a journalist here based in the Gaza Strip, I can tell you very clearly that a sort of a humanitarian, healthy humanitarian crisis is looming sooner in the Gaza Strip, in the coastal territory, as so many appeals have been outcried so far for ensuring medication, ensuring proper medical care for the high casualties that are taking place right now. More than 320 Palestinians have been victimized by the Israeli jet fighters, by the Israeli military. More than 1,400 Palestinians have been injured, and so scores of people have been missed under the rubble and under the brew of the Israeli, of the devastated buildings here in different parts of the Gaza Strip.
And I understand that in some hospitals they've actually run out of medicine.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I have spoken to the chief of the emergency department as the Hamas-run health ministry here in Gaza, and he said he articulated the sort of appeals, the sort of running out of all medicines needed for the wounded, and also the lack of a proper equipment to treat the medicines and the high casualties. Also, the morgue at hospitals have worked overloaded. They are overloaded with many corpses in the morgue, and the people rush to the morgues of the hospitals in order to take and bury their beloved ones who have been killed by the Israelis, because of the morgues have been unable to absorb more victims and more deaths of the Palestinians. This is really a very catastrophic situation. I would like also to mention very important fact that the blackout is really going on. I'm speaking to you right now from the Megaz refugee camp where I live, while the electricity is cut off, and I am confident of what I'm saying. There is a sort of a blackout as the electricity is cut off because of the lack of fuel needed to generate the electricity at Gaza's power plant, Solga power plant. This is really the situation. Israel claims that it is going not to allow a sort of a humanitarian crisis to happen in Gaza. But what kind of things they are doing now? All of the situation is really blocked. All of the services have been hampered because of the Israeli closure, because of the Israeli restrictive measures. Even the facilities are not working properly. The services are not working properly because of the continued Israeli shelling of the Gaza Strip under different areas of this small coastal territory, which is mostly densely populated area worldwide. This is really a very catastrophic that needs a sort of intervention by international and worldwide decision makers outright and immediately in order to end the suffering of more than 1.5 million humans here in this part of the world. There should be and there must be a sort of an intervention. Let me just highlight one of the important things that the United Nations, unfortunately, has not done enough for stopping such madness being committed against the Palestinians. Some people might say that there is a sort of rocket fire being fired from Gaza, and Israel has the excuses to stop these rocket fire. Let me just mention one important point, that more than 100 or scores of homemade rockets have been fired on Israel since Israel started its operation on Saturday, just 2 days ago. 2 days ago, only 2,002 Israelis were killed because of these crudely made rockets and crudely made shields by Palestinians who are mostly civilians, who lack the basic things, the basic raw materials, who lack the economy, who lack the politics, who lack everything. We are merely refugee people, a refugee population, and everybody in the world knows that Palestinians are mainly refugees. They are not super politicians, they are not super military, they are not sophisticated army. This is really craziness what's going on the ground. Just two Israelis were killed because of scores and many homemade rockets have been fired by Israel, by some resistance factions or some resistance groups. And also I would like to mention one important thing, that violence always generates violence. Israel has tried over the past several years to stop the homemade rocket fire being fired from Gaza into nearby Israel, but all their efforts have failed. So because there is a sort of no solution, there is no solution for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the United States respectively has tried and attempted throughout the years to solve the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, but it has so far failed. This is really a sort of myth in worldwide politics. In Camp David 2 in 2000, in the year 2000, Mr. Bill Clinton of the Democrats, which we hope that Mr. Barack Obama, who is proceeding, who is following on the footsteps of the Democrats, the most Democrats in the United States, you know, to solve this problem. Mr. Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States, has relentlessly made very, very big efforts to break the gap between Palestinians and Israelis, but he also failed. This is really a sort of important thing. After him came Bush, George W. Bush, and George W. Bush and his administration failed to solve the Palestinian-Israeli conflict once and for all, and saving much more blood on both sides, on both the Israelis and the Palestinians, and solve the situation and basis of the international community resolutions and United Nations resolutions regarding the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, which are very clear and very known to everybody to every politician in the world, including the United States, Israel, and Palestinians, and everybody involved. There are resolutions that have been bending on the shelves of the United Nations. These resolutions should be rebirthed, should be revived, in order to solve the situation once and for all. Let me just say that the Palestinians have the right to live on this land, and also Israelis have the right, but each party has to recognize the other party's right to his own land, the other party's right to live in peace and security. The situation should come to an end once and for all. This is what is needed, not the violence and the war is needed. No more for wars. There should be a sort of peace and coexistence between the two peoples.
Now, Rami, I do want to get back to the United Nations in just a moment. First, I want to bring in Natalie Abushakra, who is also joining us on the phone quite near you there. Rami Elmaghari has been speaking from Maghazi refugee camp in Gaza, and Natalie is in Gaza City. Natalie, how does Gaza City look? Does it reflect some of what Rami was talking about, where the Israeli government is basically trying to destroy the government buildings of the Palestinian Authority there in Gaza?
What can I possibly say during these difficult times when our children's bodies scatter around us, slashed flesh on the streets of Gaza City? What can I possibly tell you? We are literally living in a ghost town where the smell of death emanates from the streets. As an Arab girl from Lebanon, as a regular citizen, I defied the Israeli government's disallowance of Lebanese and other Arab citizens and other Arab nation states to come to Palestine. I am living now amongst my family in my home, and now I'm proud to say that I might even die a martyr on this land of dignity and struggle. Like Martin Luther King had a dream of equality and civil rights, Palestinians have a dream of living on their land with dignity and equality. This dream has been since 1948. Due to not giving up on this dream, Palestinians have been massacred, assassinated, and murdered since 1948. Till when will this continue? As for Israel and its claiming and its position of claiming self-defense, till now, we have had 350 Palestinians dead, among them mostly women, children, and elderly, and over 1,600 wounded. How many casualties are on the Israeli side? Of course, I'm not saying that I endorse any kind of attack on civilians. I do not. But let me just tell you something else. Casualties since September 2000 until present of the Palestinian people are around 1,050. How many are on the Israeli side? Over 33,034 person in Gaza have been wounded ever since 2000. How many in Israel? Another thing, Gaza has been living under a state of provocation and lockdown. That is, border crossings are closed of its entire population. And the rockets are an attempt on the part of a small element of Gazans to defend themselves against a disproportionate provocation at the hands of the Israeli government. Targeting civilians is a crime, no matter what who does it. Yet the entire population is being collectively punished by Israel. And Israel controls Gazan land borders and airspace. Machine guns and water cannons have been used by the Israeli Navy on small Palestinian boats for months now, ever since the siege began to intensify. Gazan civilians are virtually being held captive by Israel in an open-air prison. They are literally like laboratory animals in an enclosed space being targeted by the most powerful, most destructive nuclear power in the region. The Israeli actions over the last days, I can say, are disproportionate and asymmetrical. And as a citizen here living in Gaza City, I can tell you that. I can tell you the terror on children's faces every time a bomb strikes near us. This is terrible. This is inhumane. This is the epitome of injustice.
And Rami, I wonder if you could just respond to some of what Natalie has been saying. Is that your sentiment as well?
Yes, I have just heard her. Actually, I would like to add something. You know, today I have been interviewed by a sort of international radio. It's affiliated with the BBC. The speaker was the spokesman of the Israeli Foreign Ministry. He said that Israel wants to bring Hamas into the negotiating table. And which means, for me, as a Palestinian, as a watcher of the situation, that Israel wants peace under its terms, Let me just remind you and remind myself and remind the audience and everybody who listens to us that in 2002 and 2003, Israel, following the failure of the Camp David talks and the failure of the United States to solve the Palestinian-Israeli conflict on basis of international legitimacy resolutions. Israel, by then, under the Israeli prime minister at that time, Ehud Barak, who is now the defense minister, said five no's for the American administration. No for the refugees' right to return to their lands. No for the existence of a Palestinian state. No for the borders, for the set borders, the exact borders of the Palestinian state. And so about five no's, I can't recall them all. And then the talks failed. Let me just connect these things with each other. At that time, Arafat, the later president, who won the Nobel Peace Prize side by side with Shimon Peres, Mr. Shimon Peres, the president of Israel right now, and the later prime minister, Itzhak Rabin, Arafat, and these two people from Israel, who made peace and made the courage as a step. And Arafat described the later prime minister as a brave, the peace of a brave. This peace of a brave failed. He proved to be a sort of a big irony in the eyes of Israel, as in 2002-2003, Israel just isolated and attacked the Ramallah headquarters of President Arafat and isolated this Palestinian iconic leader in one room of his compound in Ramallah City and declared him a terrorist and he is an intransigent and he is not with peace. What kind of peace Israel wants? This is the big question that I want to end my speech with, what kind of peace Israel wants. And would like to say a very important example that throughout the past years, since 2005, Israel has been negotiating with Mr. President of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and so far Israel has not given Abbas any kind of concessions or confidence-building measures. Particularly, and for instance, Israel has not removed thousands, hundreds of roadblocks in the West Bank, in the occupied West Bank, and the Palestinian Authority men just go through the checkpoints under the Israeli permission. This is really a very catastrophic and a very mixed situation that should come to an end by an international real intervention. Now the Palestinians, the Arabs, and all the people around the world are just protesting in front of the Egyptian embassies worldwide, asking and demanding the Egyptian authorities to reopen the Rafah terminal crossing, which is the sole outlet for the Palestinians in Gaza, in order to lift this injustice, this repressive siege on 1.5 million Palestinians, and to let things go smoothly, at least from the part of the Arab world. What is going on is really a sort of burning, a sort of holocaust for the Palestinians. Holocaust not only for the civilians or the people, but the physical holocaust. It's sort of a historical holocaust. It's a sort of moral holocaust for the Palestinians' dreams to live in peace, security, and dignity, as many other nations around the world. That's what I can say, Jinka.
Thank you, Rami. And of course, the 325 Palestinians killed this weekend, it's a large single attack, but there have been killings on a daily and weekly basis in this low-intensity warfare that's been going on for the last 8 years.
This is adding to the suffering of the Palestinians. On daily basis, we have killed. We have killed people. On daily basis, we have wounded people. On daily basis, we have dying patients who are unable to go to outside for treatment because of the Israeli blockade. This is really a sort of holocaust, a sort of genocide for the Palestinian people physically and morally and historically. That's what I can say, Jinka, actually. I can't find words other than these words, really, my friend.
And of course, the truce that's been going on for the last 6 months,
Israel
in which
it broke the truce in November 4. It's according to human rights groups and information and media centers worldwide. Israel in November 4 last month, it broke the ceasefire in killing some people. About 20 people were killed, just prompting a sort of homemade rocket fire, which really, I personally do not agree with these homemade rocket fire, because they are not affecting, or they are not, because they are facing a sort of sophisticated army, but I like to say that the homemade rocket fire has been prompted, has been pushed up by Israel, breaking the ceasefire agreement brokered by the respectful Arab country of Egypt. This is really a sort of Israeli intentional upgrading of the situation to reach such point of no return, such point of destruction of the Palestinians in Gaza, in order to impose, Israel wants to impose a piece of its own terms, a piece of its own will, a sort of dictation to the Palestinian people, adding to the many dictations Israelis have dictated on the Palestinians, unfortunately, because the Palestinians are left alone, are isolated, are helpless, and no one wants to help them and to ask them, what's your question? No one dares to ask the Palestinians what's going on. And then really, thank you very much for giving me the chance to speak as a journalist, as a local resident here living in Gaza, to let me speak about this situation as possible as I can, in a very objective way, which I am really satisfied with, whatever the situation is.
Of course, and I'm sure that people can hear your passion about the situation, and it's interesting that you used the term a piece of graves. Ali Abu Nima of the Electronic Intifada put out an article yesterday saying, in part, what the media never questions is Israel's idea of a truce. It is very simple. Under an Israeli-style truce, Palestinians have the right to remain silent while Israel starves them, kills them, and continues to violently colonize their land. Israel has not only banned food and medicine to sustain Palestinian bodies in Gaza, but it is also intent on starving minds. Due to the blockade, there is not even ink, paper, and glue to print textbooks for children. That is an Israeli truce. Any response to Israeli attacks, whether peaceful protests against the apartheid wall in Belayin and Nailin in the West Bank, is met with bullets and bombs. There are no rockets launched at Israel from the West Bank, and yet Israel's attacks, killings, land theft, settler pogroms, and kidnappings never ceased for one single day during the truce. And I think it also is important to note that these so-called homemade rockets have not killed or injured any Israeli until this weekend. After the Israeli attack, there was one Israeli killed by a homemade rocket.
Yeah, two. I think two of Israelis since that started. Well, whatever. Two. We as human beings, we as people who have souls, who have sensations, emotions, sentiments, we are against the killings. So on both sides, against the casualties on both sides, there should be a sort of conciliation, a sort of coexistence on this part of the holy part of this world. There should be a sort of coexistence based on each body's rights, based on the international legitimate resolutions, based on many solutions that can be offered by politicians and international players, but there should be a sort of intervention, genuine intervention, real intervention, towards solving the problem once and for all. This is really a sort of mess. As you have just mentioned, it's a very long talk to talk about. Just mentioned that the Israelis are attacking the West Bank on a daily basis. I have just highlighted the Israeli blockades and the Israeli roadblocks and checkpoints throughout the West Bank for more than 700 roadblocks. And the Palestinian Authority, unfortunately, which is negotiating with Israel, is just going through these checkpoints under the Israeli soldiers, not permission, the Israeli soldiers' finger. That's what I can say.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We want to thank Rami Al-Maghari for joining us from Al-Maghazi Refugee Camp. Thank you, Rami.
No problem. You are so welcome.
And I just want to turn briefly to Natalie Abu Shakra. Are you still with us, Natalie?
Yes, I can still hear you.
And I want to ask you about what Rami was talking about, the siege and how the international community has not responded. You are part of the Free Gaza movement. Can you tell us what the Free Gaza movement is trying to do to respond to this latest Israeli attack?
The Free Gaza movement is trying to promote a civil resistance, that is, citizens to try to pressure their governments, civil society to have organized more movements in order to pressure the governments to boycott apartheid Israel. That's the main goal. As a movement, we fully endorse the rights of Gazans to have, first of all, break the siege, to live independently and with dignity. We condemn the massacring of citizens that is happening at the moment. And if you've heard, there is a boat that will be arriving to Gaza tomorrow. And we think that the Israelis might be blocking that. So it might be carrying also around more than 100 tons of medicine.
I understand that Sami Al-Haj, the journalist who was imprisoned in Guantanamo, is aboard that ship?
Indeed.
And also Cynthia McKinney, the former Green Party presidential candidate and former congresswoman from Georgia.
Yes.
And
there is also a Cypriot member of parliament, I believe, who is a surgeon.
So you think that Israel is going to block this ship full of humanitarian aid?
It is a big possibility. It is a big possibility. However, from what I know, just friends in the Free Gaza movement, they will insist and resist any kind of Israeli disallowance or hindrance to their goal. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much again, Natalie Abu Shakra in Gaza City, joining us. Thanks for being with us, Natalie.
Thank you very much.
And we are also joined now on the phone from Jerusalem with Jacob Rosenblum, who has been part of some of the protests against the attacks in Gaza. Jacob, can you tell us about the situation in Jerusalem?
Yeah, thanks. The Palestinian population here, as you could expect, are pretty devastated by what's been happening in Gaza and have had a general strike going on throughout East Jerusalem, as well as Palestinian workers in West Jerusalem aren't coming to work these days. There's some rioting that is happening scattered, but at the same time, there's a severely increased military police presence all throughout East Jerusalem and throughout the any public areas around here. So they stop riots pretty quickly. And there have been a number of protests organized by both Jewish Israelis as well as Palestinians. Today I was at one at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and we had about 200 people protesting the ongoing siege in Gaza and the massacre over the last couple of days, and we were faced off by about 100 people who were coming out in support of the operation, and with maybe about 60 like military police in between us to separate our sides from each other. And yeah,
now,
that's kind of what's going on.
I just wanted to ask you about some of the Israeli response. Ofer Schmerling, an Israeli civil defense official, stated, "I will play music and celebrate what the Israeli Air Force is doing in Gaza." Has that been a sentiment that you've seen reflected among other Israelis?
Unfortunately, among a good number of the reactionary Israelis that you see on the street here, there are people who, right from the first moment when hearing it, are cheering and are happy about what they see as a response and a strike against the Qassams, which were hitting the Western Negev. I'd say for most Jewish Israelis around Jerusalem, the biggest experience that they're having is one of an increased sense of security risk and wondering about how it will affect them in terms of the military calling up new recruits, more reservists being needed for a ground invasion. I think that's where most people's heads are now, and hoping that they themselves are able to stay safe in this situation.
Well, it's really interesting just inside Israel how many people are not aware of what's going on the other side of the wall. Having lived in Jerusalem, I wonder if you could just talk about that, not just in this recent Israeli attack, but in general, how separated the people are, the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Yeah, it's for me, it's very disheartening as a person who is able to cross over and experience Palestinian culture and Palestinian people as well as Israelis, to see that my friends here who are connected to like Jewish-Israeli circles have no sense of what's going on, and that this happened on Shabbat and during Hanukkah, and that people continue their Hanukkah celebrations, and they pause for a moment, and the numbers don't mean something to them. They aren't able to shift into the sense of, well, what if 200 Israelis were killed in a day? It would totally stop everything around here. And so I'm sad to see that people can't get beyond the ethnocentrism which they're experiencing. But that's very much how it is, that things here are very much framed in terms of what they've experienced versus what the other side is experiencing. So similarly, I didn't see anyone dancing in the streets. You know, that's kind of the other end of the spectrum, and I'm glad to have not seen that response from it, because it's just really hard to be here and be experiencing the sadness of so many Palestinians, what's happening right now, and to not have it felt and noticed at all in the Israeli mainstream.
And you're someone who has gone to the other side, as it were, crossed over into the Palestinian territories in the West Bank. And how are people there responding? Have you been in touch with people in the West Bank? I understand there have been protests there as well.
Yeah, it's a really hard situation. there's a widespread understanding throughout Palestinian communities here that this was an action done in tandem with the understanding of the Palestinian Authority. And for that, people are very upset. Throughout the West Bank, people feel a strong sense of solidarity with Gazans, and there's protests happening everywhere. In Hebron, it's been really tense lately. Anywhere where there are traditional conflicts between settlers and Palestinians, it's just upped the situation there. Yesterday in Nilim, there were protests, and the military used live ammunition against protesters, killed one protester, and critically injured another one. For so many people, it's just become increased mayhem, and for the Palestinian people, it's been such an experience of a division of their people, their political factions being played out against each other, while the Palestinian Authority sits by and hopes to benefit from the elimination of Hamas from the political scene.
So obviously the Israeli reason for the attacks to increase their security is not really what's behind it.
Absolutely not. They've been planning this attack for the past 6 months, and as many analyses tend, that they've basically just been waiting for the right moment to eliminate Hamas. And this is something that the United States has pioneered, is look for a way to take out a democratically elected party leadership, and I guess Israel decided that now was the time was right. And so they coordinated, and they did it in concert, and Egypt knew this was happening, and the PA knew this was happening, and the United States knew this was happening, and, now people are making public international statements, saying that they should stop it, and I think that, leadership, they're hoping it'll be quick so that unrest will be settled, but unfortunately, this was done, with the consent of all of these major parties. And once again, it's a situation of the people being betrayed by the leadership.
And I think we're going to have to leave it there with Jacob Rosenblum speaking with us from Jerusalem, the phone line kind of cutting in and out. Thank you very much for that report from Jerusalem, Jacob.
Thank you.
Again, Jacob, a Northwesterner here from the Seattle area, who has also lived in Portland and is currently in Jerusalem, talking about some of the protests. Another Portlander in Jerusalem wrote on her blog that she went to a protest in Bethlehem and was hit by tear gas, that the containers, the canisters of tear gas said not for use in the USA. The tear gas canisters were made in the USA, but not for use in the USA. Of course, hundreds of solidarity protests worldwide to protest the attacks in Gaza. And on Sunday, there were protests in many, many cities, including Tel Aviv, Paris, London, Edinburgh, New York, Boston, Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, San Francisco, Amman, Jordan, Damascus, Syria, and many, many more. Thousands of people taking to the streets to protest the Israeli attacks on the civilian population of Gaza. Although Israel says they are not attacking the civilian population, the hospitals and eyewitness reports show that the vast majority of the casualties were civilians. And we're joined on the line by Hala Gores, a local Palestinian-American activist who is part of the organizing of Portland's response to the Gaza attacks. Hala, can you tell us about what people are doing here locally?
Yes, Jenka. We have prepared for a protest that is going to be happening tomorrow at 4:30 that will happen in front of the federal building in downtown Portland on Southwest 3rd and Madison. The protest will start at 4:30. We will have a rally from 4:30 until 6:30. This is organized by Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, American Jews for a Just Peace, and Portland Peaceful Response Coalition, PPRC, as well as other organizations. We want as many people down at in front of the federal building to have signs and the Palestinian flag to show our solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Gaza.
And how is the local Oregon delegation to Congress, how are the senators and congresspeople responding, or have they responded?
I have not seen any response. We've had an effort to make as much contact with our delegations here locally, as well as with President-elect Barack Obama, and we have not received, nor do I expect that we will receive any humane response from them. I think that I only caught the tail end of the Northwesterner you were interviewing in terms of his comments, but this really is a war crime that has many conspirators, including our own Arab leaders. It is such a shame that Gaza, or that Egypt, would allow Gazans to be mutilated and killed like this without opening up the border.
And, of course, the planes, F-16 warplanes supplied by the United States.
Absolutely. The U.S. is complicit in these Israeli violations of international law and these war crimes. And bottom line is our U.S. tax dollars pay for it. Without our U.S. tax dollars, there would not be the massacres, because Israel could not afford to spend money on the military as it does. It is our tax dollars that make this possible.
And are you encouraging, then, other action than the protest, the boycott divestment movement, or people contacting their congresspeople?
To contact the congresspeople, as well as joining the divest and boycott program that you can find on the internet simply by Googling divest and boycott from Israel.
I think the website for that is bdsmovement.net. That's for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, bdsmovement.net.
Yes, thank you for putting that on. You know that on our program, Will Seaman and I had interviewed Deanna Buttu, and she had pointed out, I didn't realize that L'Oreal Company is on the list of those companies that should be boycotted. But for anybody out there, I went home and I collected all of my L'Oreal makeup and skin products, put them in a package, and I'm sending them back to the company with a demand that they stop functioning or having their companies on stolen Palestinian land.
And there's also a campaign against Motorola cell phones. As apparently the company, in addition to providing cell phones, also produces electronics that are used by the Israeli military in the occupation of Palestinian land.
Yes, I think that it would be great to do a program strictly on divesting, boycotting all companies that support the occupation of Palestinians.
And Hala Gores, the peaceful Portland Peaceful Response Coalition, Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, have come out with a statement to oppose the Israeli attacks. Of course, the mainstream media is focusing on the supposed rocket attacks from the Gaza Strip that up until this weekend had not killed or injured anyone. And I just wonder if you could address that question of the supposed attacks from Hamas into Israel.
Listen, the attacks by Hamas or anyone who's under occupation is a stupid thing. We don't support it. But you have to look at things. You can't look at things in a vacuum. Okay, this is in response directly to the Gazans, 1.5 million of them, being starved for the last year and a half. You have people who are imprisoned and starved, and you expect them not to react? You know, what boggles my mind is that the Israeli government does this thinking, or maybe not thinking, that it's going to help in the long run. What does one do by killing the parents of a child? What does one do by killing the child that belongs to a parent? You do not create friends out of this kind of action. But it really is, an excuse used by the Israeli government. My understanding is that Ehud Barak had been planning this for the last 6 months. It has absolutely nothing to do with rocket attacks. It has to do with the politics of Israeli elections.
And what do you think about the fact that Barack Obama has not given a response?
I think that Barack Obama at this point is bought and paid for. After the appointment of Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton, I think that spoke volumes. And with respect to peace and justice for Palestinians, we know that we cannot rely on Barack Obama and his administration.
Well, thank you very much. Again, I'm speaking with Hala Gores, and maybe you could give the information for the protest here in Portland one more time for our listeners.
Yes, thank you, Jenka. The protest will be tomorrow at 4:30 in front of the federal building downtown Portland on Southwest 3rd and Madison. From 4:30 to 6:30, please come on down. This is organized by Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, American Jews for a Just Peace, and Portland Peaceful Response Coalition. We hope to see you down there.
All right. Thank you very much. And also, in addition to the Portland protest this afternoon in Eugene, the Al Nakba Awareness Project and Veterans for Peace will be flyering along the Ferry Street Bridge Approach Parkway if you are in the Eugene area. Again, we have been focusing this hour on the attacks in Gaza that took place this weekend, in which 325 Palestinians were killed, the vast majority of whom were civilians. And we are going now to a report from the International Middle East Media Center, giving us the details on this weekend's attacks.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, December 29th, 2008. Death toll 325 as Israeli army air raids continue to pound Gaza, while in the West Bank Israeli attacks leave 55 Palestinians injured. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. On Monday, the Israeli air attacks targeting Gaza continued. Targets included police headquarters, hospitals, mosques and schools. Palestinian medical sources in Gaza said that the death toll by Monday afternoon now stands at 325, with 1,500 injured among them, 200 in critical conditions. Medical and healthcare services are struggling to cope with the outcome of the Israeli offensive on the Gaza Strip while the bombing continues. Dr. Mawia Hussanan, the head of the Palestinian Ambulance and Emergency Services in the Health Ministry in Gaza, talked to the IMEMC.
We have zero medical supplies in our hospitals as of this moment, which is limiting our ability to function. We are trying to use what is available in the inventory. Last night, some Egyptian medical aid arrived, which served for a few hours only.
Today is the third day in the Israeli army offensive targeting Gaza, which started on Saturday midday. Israeli attacks did also include attacks on Palestinian health work agencies, Dr. Moya Hassanan explains.
5 ambulances and 3 civil defense vehicles have been shelled, and the ambulances now are functioning with only 50% of its capacity, so we are in need for new ambulances now.
In the West Bank, hundreds of Palestinians protested in several cities on Monday against the Israeli attacks